Pregnancy Center, we have been collecting change in bottles or cash or checks. They are technically due today, but in the event that you forgot yours, I'm pretty certain they'll accept your money in a week. So bring it back next week if you didn't bring it today. And if anything like pricked in your heart, yes, or there if you have it with you now, contact them. Like if your heart was stirred, it's a ministry that can, like, there's never a they've never capped out on the people or the prayers that they need. So that is first. Second, on Tuesday, 2 days from now, there is a 3-hour mandatory training, which sounds like a huge commitment, but it is for a community VBS. So we're talking like lots of churches coming together to reach the children of our community. And I believe somebody's also putting it on FLN. So it could be from extended communities, and the heart for unity in the body of Christ is really there. So if that is something that stirs in you, consider volunteering your time. But if you want to do that in August, you have to go to this training. And that is at the Salvation Army Church from 5 to 8 on Tuesday of this week. There's also still a supply list. Is that correct, Pastor Dave? I don't see it. Is a supply list still out there? If you can't donate your time but you want to help in another way, there's lots of supplies that are needed. So that list is out there. You can bring them here or drop them off at the Salvation Army and let them know that's what it's for. Let's see. Oh, there's also a prayer meeting tonight at 6 p.m. Is that still on? Where's Katie? Is that still on as far as you know? All right. At the Genesis Bible Church. So Arise is going to be a 3-day revival meeting that is being held out at York's Corners. And I just want to say it's so beautiful that a lot of our announcements have to do with like churches all over this community. It's not just what happens here. It's the body, and it's really beautiful. So that is a 3-day event, which the insert in your bulletin, if you didn't pick one up, you can get them out there. We'll describe, but there is a prayer meeting, prayer and some planning, if you would like to attend that. The VBS and revival meetings are in August, the later half of August. You can also stop. Is today a good day for people to sign up for whatever streets are remaining for Saturate USA? Wonderful. So if you want to be partnered up with somebody and share the DVD and things that we have in the community, stop in the foyer on your way out and sign up for a street. I know it seems like a lot of announcements. Sorry, guys. So Operation Christmas Child is something that happens at Christmas time, but once we all get towards Christmas, it's kind of hard to, like, get our ducks in a row. So Kathy and Pastor Dave, I believe, had this fantastic idea to invest in that ministry now. And so if you can be shopping for your own boxes, it's a great time when there's like back to school sales, but you also can give financially. So that's what this box is here. It's a Christmas in July, so it's a fundraiser to help support the ministry that we will start carrying out in October and November. And then, did you want me to give out this? Yes, okay, wonderful. I mentioned getting our ducks in a row. And speaking of ducks, we have a rubber ducky award. So I don't know who was here last week for the picnic. It was a ton of fun. This is a fantastic church family. But there was somebody special, and it would be Wayne and Judy Taggart, who not only set up a really notable, fun slip and slide out here, but then sat out in the rain to allow the kids the opportunity to have fun. And that's like, it might not seem big, but in the kingdom and walking in love, that's really, really huge. So this is the Rubber Ducky Award presented to Wayne and Judy Taggart. And this is what it says. We're such great sports for putting our children's fun first at the picnic in the middle of a storm. You're a blessing to this church family. And to make the whole thing a little sweeter, there's a little award here. And so that is it for announcements. Do you want me to leave this on? All right. Thanks for hanging with me.
Thank you. Yeah, there's plenty of duckies in there, you guys. So, Wayne, next bath, I expect those duckies to be floating with you. Oh, I want to just before we have our brother Chris come, I want to share with you. I had an exciting meeting yesterday up at the York's Corners Church for the Arise Revival meetings. And there was another planning meeting, and we got together, and I was expecting, you know, a few people to be together. The room was full of people. And when it was time to pray, people got on their face, crying out for our area. And I'll tell you, God is doing something powerful. So I want to encourage you now to begin to pray for those meetings at the end of August. I don't know what God's going to do, but there's a lot of expectation for God to really move. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, each night at 6 p.m., I want to say, they start. And Sunday afternoon, we're already planning a baptismal service in the river because we're expecting people to give their hearts to Jesus and need to get baptized. So I want to encourage you to pray and think about your own involvement. There's going to be a need for counselors that night that will be up at the altar to pray with people that come forward. There's going to be a parking lot direction that's needed. There's going to be a prayer meeting that's going on the whole time that those meetings are going on. It's going to be over in the church. If you feel like you want to pray and intercede, there's lots of room to do stuff. But the thing for you to do right now is really pray that God will move on those nights. Our brother Carl Hoyer is going to be sharing on those evenings, and they're bringing some music in. And looks like your pastor's going to provide some of the music for that as well. So, pray for those meetings. Pray for God to move. It's a beautiful pavilion that they've got down there in a huge field. Lots and lots of room for lots and lots of people. And God's going to do something great. And get involved in the VBS that's happening. If you can do that, get involved. Either give some supplies, but investing in kids, there's just nothing like it. And that's why we got this guy here, Chris Regan. He's investing in kids because the kids are the future. And if we invest in them in the kingdom of God, how can you go wrong? God wants to move in that way. In a minute, we're going to release the kids to go to Children's Church, but we're going to keep them here because Chris has got a song to sing. But I want to tell you, Children's Church is going to be super exciting today. I get to be part, sometimes help set up, and I get excited, and nothing personal, but I was like, man, I want to go to Children's Church today. It's going to be fun. I'm sure that our brother Chris is going to bring a good word too, but sometimes I get really excited about that. So, brother Chris, do you need another minute? Should I keep talking? 20 seconds, Morty. Yeah. Don't forget Christmas in July. And I guess you can look at them. All right. God, praise God.
Here. I'm going to share a song. They asked, Pastor Dave asked if I could share a song, and I was like, totally. And so obviously these last year and a half has been the most interesting year and a half on the planet since we've all been alive. And probably about 15 years ago, I picked up a guitar, and I always liked doing music, and it got to a place where I started putting pen to paper, or I guess iPhone note to iPhone notes, writing music. And one of the things that I've found, whether you sing, whether you play, whether you do anything, or you're like, well, I'm a shower singer. That's good if you are. Something changes the atmosphere when we lift our voice to Jesus. And it doesn't matter who's leading, doesn't matter how good it sounds. He's really looking for a heart that wants him. And so I played this a little bit, but I wrote this probably some years ago, knowing this is pre-pandemic, knowing that, how many of you know that the end game is ultimately his return? And that's amazing. But how many of you know it's going to get dark but before it gets real light? And if we don't know him and we don't understand him, we leave pretty much offended and mad at the circumstance because and the Lord's just out there to root out the deception and the lies we believe in about God, and this happened because of this, and we just got to get up above the clouds and get where he's seated in heavenly places. And so I wrote this probably some years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago, some of this, and then my wife and I were sitting, she's like, hey, you need to actually finish that song during the pandemic, because obviously at first everyone, you know, a lot of people were like, we're all going to die, and don't get me wrong, it was serious. But at the same time, perspective, how many of you know perspective's everything? Perspective's the anchor. King Jesus says in Hebrews, he's the anchor of our soul. And I believe that we're in an, and I'm going to share a little bit after I play, but I believe that we're in a invitation season with him like we never have been before. And it is amazing. So I'm going to share this. I'm going to see if I can, bear with me, because actually I've not even finished the song, but I felt, when Pastor Dave asked me to share something, I was like, you know, I felt like the Lord was wanting me to share this, so we'll rock. Yeah, I'm going to probably mute that. Cool. There we go. Because in this hour, there's never been a better time to know your voice. To hear your thoughts, so in this hour, there's never been a better time to fully trust you. So I hold on to you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. The winds, they blow, the waves keep coming to test all I know. Oh, the winds, they blow, the waves keep coming to test all I know. But in this hour, I dedicate all my life to knowing you. So I hold on to you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. Oh, and I'm trusting you, God. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. Know that I can trust you. Oh, cause when the world starts shaking, everything is falling around me, and I trust you, yes. When the world starts shaking and everything is falling around me, oh, I trust you, yes. When the world starts shaking, everything comes falling around me, and I trust you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. Know that I can trust you. Oh, I know I can trust you. You have my life, you have my heart, it's in your hands. Know that I can trust you. Oh, Jesus, yeah, you said follow me, and I gave everything. This ship has sailed and there's no turning back. Oh, you said follow me, I gave everything.
this ship has sailed and there's no turning back. Oh, you said follow me, and I gave everything. This ship has sailed and there's no turning back. 'Cause when the world starts shaking, everything is falling around us. Oh, we trust you, yeah. And when the world starts shaking, everything is falling around us. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. With just one word from your mouth, the waves bow down, the winds they still. With just one word from your mouth, the waves bow down, the winds they still. 'Cause when the world starts shaking, everything comes falling around us, God. Oh, you know we trust you, yes. And when the world starts shaking, everything is falling around me. I trust you, 'cause I know you have my life, you have my heart. It's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. No matter what, you have my life, you have my heart. It's in your hands. I know that I can trust you. Amen. So should I come down there?
We got a winner. All right, we good? Check, check. Oh, yeah, we're in business. Hands free. This is great. I had to remember when I was in New York, I can't talk on, you can't drive and talk, right? That's a rule here. Isn't that right? Florida, I feel like anything goes in Florida, so. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. It's crazy there. It's good. I love it, though. All right. How's everybody doing? We good? Okay, I just want to say, great to be back. I know most of you. If I don't know you, hello. Bless you guys. I'm pumped to be here. I just first off want to say thank you for your support to my family. I grew up here. This was my stomping grounds. I took a walk through here. I still remember, and I say it every time I come back because I can't help but remember I was 5 years old. I think it was 1988, and this was a shell. And I walked through here with my mom, and there's big platforms in here. They were finishing stuff. And I put a hole in the wall over there one time during youth group. If you guys remember Dave Hess, he's a ninja that got, or Dave, did I say his name right? Hurd, I don't like calling him Hess. I mixed him up with another guy. Dave Hurd, who was very influential in my life, was here for many years. Dave Hurd was, I asked my dad, we drove by his old house, and I was like, man, I would love to see that guy. But he could fix anything, and so I remember he's like, no big, because I figured, like, I'm dead, they're going to kill me, like, it's over. I just put a hole in the wall. I think I threw a ball or something, imagine that, or ran through something, and I just thought it was, but I remember his response was like, hey, we're good, we'll fix it, and just showing such love, and so I have so many good memories, and I felt like, I always tell the story, I feel like I went to church 9 to 12 times growing up a week. Here, I feel like there was a service every 5 minutes. I was like, Mom, we just went to church. Why are we going to church again? And all the young kids are upstairs, so I can say these. My son's probably wondering why, too. So my wife, by the way, is not here. My middle guy's not feeling 100%. So we just wanted to, we thought he had a fever, but he does. He's just not feeling good. So be praying for him. I'm not a devil behind every door guy, but I've been preaching more lately. And it's like hitting the fan every time I preach. So I just told my wife, hey, we're going to be good. He's going to be good. We're going to pray for him and not stop. So otherwise, my little two-year-old and my almost seven-year-old will be here. My little guy, Dalton, is in the back. He's nine. And so, and of course, my parents. He's like, hey, can I stay with you for the preaching today? I was like, let's go, buddy. You're going to preach the last half. Is that good? Deal. It's all on baseball, though. We're going to, no, I'm kidding. Funny story, though. I'm going to, if you're like a line-by-line person, I'm going to drive you nuts. I'm kind of like a squirrel preacher. I bounce around. I have some fun. You might be annoyed by the time I finish, but I tell you, you'll be encouraged. It's my goal today. So if I jump around with some stories and just some different things, I have some things to share today, and I just wanted to give a brief update with my family. We've been serving the Lord. I went to Bible school, met my wife there in Kansas City after I got out of baseball, and it's, I don't know, it's like I lose track of time. It was probably 13, 14, 15 years ago, and I just want to say thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts for your continual monthly support for what we do. I've told people, hey, you need to continue to support the missionaries in Africa, but your next door neighbor is on their way to hell and they don't know Jesus. And it's not like everybody goes to church like they used to and actually knows God. The great falling away has in some ways happened, started already, and we're seeing the most comfortable age on the planet. And so I'm discipling youth, and I work with coaches and athletes all across the Treasure Coast of Florida. We have three counties, and I don't know that I think in the population that I oversee for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is probably, I think it's over 600,000 population. And those Okeechobee County, Port St. Lucie, St. Lucie County, Martin County, it's a different world. When I moved there, I'm like, dude, the leaves aren't changing. And it's like 150 out. What's going on? But I've grown to love it. And we feel called there long term. And the Lord could always change that. But I feel like we've heard pretty clearly we're going to be there. And I'm discipling kids that don't know what Noah's Ark was, doesn't understand Adam and Eve at all. And we're dealing with a fatherless generation, and where fathers are actually still home, but fatherless generation, if you know what I'm saying, are just checked out with their kids. And what we're seeing now is kids are not, you want to invite a kid to church, they're going to look at you like, bro, I ain't going to church. Like, that's stupid. That's for the whatever. And here's what I say, I don't blame you. Because every time you go to church, you get beat down with stained glass window theology, and they tell you how bad you are, and you can't. There's a major gap, and the forgiving grace of God is somewhere not found in there, and you leave feeling worse than you did when you came. And shame on us if that's the cause and that's the case. And so I'm still helping lead the Open Door House of Prayer, leading worship and preaching and leading a lot of prayer meetings primarily. And we're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer isn't some cross my fingers, get on my knees, and hope it works out. Prayer is a position that we're going to talk a little bit about today. But I'm very excited and very encouraged by you guys. I took a walk this morning for probably close to a little over an hour just through my neighborhood, reminiscing memories, praying, and just thinking like, wow, I played there. Oh, I got stitches at that house. And oh, I took a hockey stick to the face. And I have so many, broke my arm at this other place. I mean, I have some memories. So still alive. Nobody got sued. We thank God. We're it's a different world than where we used to live. So, but it's cool to think about the faithfulness of God. I used to sit in this little room and see people back in, I don't know, that we had a renewal here, what, in the 90s with that dude, Fount Schultz. You remember that guy? Some of y'all here, he'd always, like I knew my Fount Schultz impersonation, he'd always walk around like he got his lip up, ready to go. He's all business. I loved him though. But I always sat there as a young kid, probably my, you know, you got some of you younger kids, and I'd sit there and be like, man, these people are a little crazy. Like, I don't know about all this and this power of God stuff, but I knew it was real. How many of you know when you get close to a fire, it's hot? And you might be like, I ain't no fire, but you're playing yourself. I knew it was real. I couldn't figure it out. I might not understand the embers, but I was getting close to something as a young kid, and I realized this is real. It's a little weird, and it wasn't really weird. It was just because my mind wasn't renewed. Yeah, we did see some weird stuff, but it was more because my mind wasn't renewed. And so, but I remember sitting here, and I remember these windows being open in the summer and on like Sunday nights, and there's like 25 people, and Pastor Mason Sorensen preaching, and we got worship going, and just being like, man, I wish I was out there with those deer that are on the hill right now, because I don't want to be in here. Like, if I was honest, I didn't really like church as a kid. And then something, and I've told this story a little bit, but I think it's important today because until you encounter the man Jesus, you'll do it for a few minutes to check it off and make someone else who invited you happy, and then you're gone. See ya. Deuces. I'll go find something else that makes me feel good about me instead of saying, wait a minute. He said, lose your life so that you can find it. And I realized that as a young kid, I remember having an encounter with God during that time. I laid on the floor right here. And I tell it from time to time. It was probably one of the most powerful moments of my life. And I had a vision of heaven and hell as a 12-year-old. And I remember being like, this is wild. I was laying on the floor. It wasn't like I came out of my body. It was in my mind's eye. I saw heaven and hell. And Jesus took me to both and said, hey, here's the deal. This is real. I don't want you here. And I want you. It was the thing that marked my life. I want you with me. And I knew out of that encounter, I need to take as many people with me as possible. And that was one of the things that changed my life. Because my mom and dad were like, oh, just pray, you know, do the right things. And how many of you know that's not enough, parents? Like, I'm wanting my kids to know Jesus. Me just taking them to Sunday school and to church, that's a start. But it's not the pastors and the youth pastors' jobs to lead your kids to Jesus. It's what we model at home. It's the most sobering thing. My wife and I look at each other and we're like, we're not really good at this. You know, and you might think, well, Chris, your kids are amazing. They are amazing. But I don't know what to do most of the time in situations. And how many of you guys struggle with lack of patience? Like, you're like, dude, do the right thing. And it's like, my son's like, I'm trying. But I'm four times his age. Of course I know what the right thing is. How many of you know that everything that we do is shown and modeled to us? And I realized that for me, my parents and everyone at this church, everyone was just, to this day, we're all doing to the level of revelation that we have. We're all doing the best that we can. We're all trying to position ourselves to be the best. We hear it all the time. Be the best version of yourself. I'm kind of like, yeah, like just know Jesus and you'll be real. You'll be a great person. Like best version of myself, self-help. Yeah, well, that's another topic for another day. It's called Chris Regan. Shut up and, that's a bad way to say it, but I'm going to say it. Shut up and die. Let your inner man, meaning the flesh, just be quiet. Because you ain't bringing nothing good to the table. Die so that you might live and be connected with him so that you can be fully alive on the inside. And then you can speak up because your body, soul, spirit is being renewed right in a moment. And suddenly something changes where you walk in and you're not like, what's it going to be like today? Whether it's here, I got to go to work and that coworker and oh, I hate this job and he's an idiot and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and then we call ourselves believers. But it's like, I don't know about you, like, it's not even a little light that we're bringing. This little light of mine, which I don't even think that's that biblical. How about this fiery torch I carry? But it's like, if I run into Adam and I'm like, hey, and he's a rough guy at work, and I'm supposed to be the love of Jesus everywhere I go, and he's annoying the snot out of me. First of all, catch this. This is important. First of all, am I alive in Christ or am I alive in my feelings? Feelings lie to you, right? Feelings aren't always true. And I show him a little spark. How many of you know he ain't going to feel the fire of my spark? I'm like trying to love him. Maybe he did something dumb and I forgive him. He's not going to feel a spark. The Lord is looking to get us to a place where there is oil on the inside and there is a torch everywhere we go. And so I just want to say this. I remember a vivid memory being upstairs in one of those rooms up there. This guy named Mickey Beal, some of you know him. He was one of the most impactful men in my life while I was here as a kid because he looked at me and he said, I knew it in his head, because Mickey likes sports. And truth be told, I never wanted to be in church because I always wanted to play sports, hunt, or fish. Church was kind of boring until I encountered him and I realized God's in all of that. And I remember Mickey saying, they did a Bible question thing up there, and I'm like, dude, I'm like 0 for my life on Bible questions. I mean, my parents, we did stuff at home and here, but I'm like, I don't care, like, yeah, God loves the world, and I know I'm saved, and we have to go to church again, and oh, we're eating spaghetti again, it's Wednesday night, I hate this. Like, those are the things I struggle, those were my trials as a kid. And it's pretty pathetic, I know, I was really selfish. But that was Wednesday night, was spaghetti night, and I was like, oh, I hate spaghetti, and we're going to go to church on Wednesday night, it's like, come on, maybe there'll be a college basketball game on after. Just finding a way. But I remember Mickey said, instead of treating me and trying to get me to be a good little church boy, He realized he had the heart of the Father in him. And he's like, Chris likes sports, and we're going to get God, and we're going to do it with the thing that he likes. And I remember him doing Bible questions, and all of a sudden he started asking, and there's kids in our age group, We all, like, I collected baseball cards. So he's like, I'm buying a baseball card set, and the winner of all these questions gets the set, and each week we do them. But Mickey would throw in baseball questions. I'd crush it every time. I'm like, oh, y'all jokers don't have any chance of answering that. Bam! I'm like watching SportsCenter 5 times a day as a kid. So there's no chance, like, any kid was going to beat me to the answer. And so I remember, though, we get to the end, and it's like, it's getting close. And it's me, some others, and, you know, occasionally I'd get a Bible question right. And then, like, the final question, it was, like, for the win. How many books are in the Bible? And I was like, 66. And I was like, winner. And, like, I just remembered in my heart, I have a home here. Does that make sense? I have a home here because I'm not here so I can be a Wellsville full gospel church boy. I'm here to be a lover of Jesus and be raised up in my identity and who God's called me to be. And because of that, I had men, of course, my father, who's the most influential man in my life, who helped shape my heart into the calling that God gave me. Because of that, I was able to step into calling rather than trying to do all the, be boxed into what some parents do to their kids, and it's terrorizing. I'm like, dude, don't kill your kid. Like, allow, like, figure out how God, why God put him on the planet. And I struggle with it at times, and then shape that thing. That's a little side note, and the reason I tell that is because I'm walking this morning, and I'm seeing houses that have been turned over and new families in my neighborhood, and I'm seeing, like, God, this neighborhood's asleep. And I'm not, anything I say to you today, I'm not judging you. So if he's like, hey, he's super intense. Well, I love's intense. And I got a smile on my face, so I'm not mad at anybody. So I'm prefacing that in big, bold letters, not in the small print. But I just thought, we're asleep in comfort right now. Yep. COVID wasn't, I want to be sensitive when I say this, because some of you might have lost loved ones, and I want to be sensitive that it was hard, but let's just talk for a second. It wasn't really that hard. Compared to what's coming to planet Earth. End game, if you read this, Genesis to Revelation. Come on. I'm going to give you a baseball analogy. The end game is hitting 103-mile-an-hour fastball running in on your hands, and you're supposed to make contact and hit it up the middle. COVID was like hitting a ball off a tee. With the best bat in the world and the best coach in the world in front of you, that's how hard it was, in spite of where it's going. Now, you might say, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hard. How am I going to stand? And Chris is intense in this message. No, time out. We're going to get to that in a second. We've got to understand right now that we've been put on the planet for this moment right now. You can say it's an Esther moment for such a time as this, however you want to say it. He could have put you on the planet years before, but he put you on the planet right now. Every time, a lot of times when I'm home, I talk to my old friends, and you hear it just through the web. Allegheny County, Wellsville's just a dying out town. And you just hear just death spoken over everything all the time. And oh, this, and that. No. And it's like, what in the world? Why do we talk like that? And why is it that the Lord planted you? Key word, planted. You might just say, well, this is where I grew up, or this is how it worked out, and I met this girl, this guy, and I end up moving here. Don't know if I really love it. Rather be somewhere else. There's a million reasons I'd rather be somewhere else than where I live. But I love it because I realize he planted me. And when God planted you, that means he's got your back. You hear me on this? This is huge. And when it really storms like it did back like a month ago and I saw pictures of trees down, I don't know if it happened the rest of Wellsville, but where my parents live, it was gnarly. Just big old trees getting knocked down left and right. When it storms, your root system locks and loads. You've got a buffer. You've got mountains protecting you. And when branches come off and it hurts, you realize I was put here to be an oak of righteousness to a region that is falling away right now, to my neighbors that want nothing to do with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're thinking, like, we got VBS training coming up. Why are we doing VBS? Because we have a lost generation of kids that are on their way and parents that are saying, oh, great, free, you know, daycare. Finally, my kid can stop being so blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully the church will help them because I don't know what to do. Why? Because it's a turnover. It's because their parents didn't help them well and they're raising kids as kids in their heart. Do you see what I'm saying? We've all been there in some way, shape, or form. So I'm not putting anybody up higher than not. But I want you to get this. Because I'm going to give you some real simple points this morning. What has gripped my life the most was not Bible school, was not what I learned about the Word of God, was not the amount of sermons I've preached or led worship and music and the things that the amount of sports and the people. I could give a rip about all of that. I really can. And I say that with confidence. What has changed and gripped my life the most is making my heart is a yes with God. So if I had a big old whiteboard, I keep telling my wife, I'm like, I'm going to buy it because I'm such a nerd. I'm going to buy like a little whiteboard and bring it with me and then do this. And I'm a terrible artist. But I'm a visual guy. I probably should do PowerPoints. I just get bored with that too. But because I'm a scratcher. As I'm going, I'll be like, the PowerPoint doesn't look good enough. But I don't even know why I was about to draw something. I got distracted. Say with me. Y'all can laugh at me. What was I just saying? Your yes to God. So if you're on a whiteboard, let's say the whiteboard was huge. If right now, today, if you left the room today, this little room today, with, you would say, preacher guy's crazy, kind of intense, a little overboard, not sure how I feel about him, fine with me. I really am not here for you to like me. But if you left saying, but what he said caused me to put a yes on the whiteboard and circle it, it might be font size 2. And you're like, I can't even really see it from back there, but I know in my heart I'm in. All he's looking for is a yes. You get me on this? How many of you know? I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time because we're going to jump around with some scriptures. End of John. Peter, how many of you know Peter thought he was Superman? He just thought he was all that. And he's like, oh, I'm your rock. I'm your dude. And I was like, you know, get behind me, Satan, real quick. It's like, you can just imagine Jesus with Peter being like, buddy, like, calm it down, pal. Rolls with this dude for 3 years. Peter's like, I don't know that guy. 3 years every day, they were together. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I met him at the fair and I've seen him from time. He's come to some of my teachings. That was one of Jesus's right-hand men. Rolling with him everywhere he went. And Peter's like, I don't know him. I don't know him. And as a result, imagine being Peter. He's like, man, I'm going back to fishing. This ain't working. I screwed up with the Son of God. I'm a failure. This is not happening. And we skip ahead and we see the end of John. They're fishing. Peter sees Jesus making breakfast on the beach. This whole reconciliation in Jewish tradition. Reconciliation always took place over a meal. Jesus is cooking up some fish at where he got them from. He probably told him to swim onto shore or onto the grill. I don't know. But suddenly he's cooking fish. He's hanging out. And he's like, Peter, and Peter sees him. That's the Lord. Throws his outer garment on, comes in and realizes, oh my goodness. And reinstates Peter in one moment. And we're so frustrated and angry at ourselves of stupid things we did as kids, of how we hurt people 5, 10, 20 years ago. And don't get me wrong. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Like, but here's the thing. Peter's repentance ultimately got him to a place where I'm pretty certain, you can probably ask some Bible scholars in here and some historians, I think Peter was crucified upside down when he died. That's what it was has been said. Whether that's fully true, we don't know. But I don't know about you. Peter erased all his yes off the board and disqualified himself because of shame, pain, and embarrassment. Went back to the old trade, probably cussing like a sailor, being old Peter, being an idiot, and just running around doing his thing. And God says, buddy, you don't understand my mercy. You don't understand my calling and my root system that I've established in you. What I started in you, I'm going to finish. We got to let him finish what he started in this place, in this property, in your family line. You might be like, it's so messed up, Chris. I can meet with you and tell you all about it. You can tell me all about it. I'll tell you about 100 areas I messed it up. But I will sing praises on the mercy of God. In one moment, he takes a jacked up path and turns it into glory in a moment. He just sang it. You turn mourning to dancing. We're all stomping because it's like, let's go. Like, this is our God, right? This is the one that woke us up when we were dead. And if you're here today and being like, man, this is kind of making sense. It's because church isn't supposed to be in gatherings and studying the word of God. It's not supposed to be boring. The only reason why it's boring, might want to put your fingers in your ears, might want to hear this, because you're boring. You're boring and you show up and you're like, it ain't scratching me. I don't like the way he preaches. It's like, so it's an entertainment now. Did you get a ticket to the show? Why wasn't the guitar playing today? It was just Pastor Dave, like, should we have drums up there? We should be playing drums. Like, I'm not saying that's what you were thinking, but let's be honest. Like, we want to be tickled. And if it ain't tickling the way we want it to be tickled, we might go find a place that scratches a different part of our back down the road. And guess what? They're going to miss this other part because the church ain't meant to scratch your back, y'all. You're meant to come in full of fire and saying, this is my offering. This is a gathering of outpouring when you step into this building. It really is. And if you're disgruntled or frustrated or kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just, it ain't how it used to be, whether you're a member here or you're visiting, or this life ain't how it, shake the Etch-a-Sketch board up. I always tell kids they don't know what that is, but they're like, my iPad? You know, it's like, no. And that, parents, you just tell your kids later. Your little plan that you thought was real cool, there's a man, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Turn it around, give it to God, shake it up, and let him redraw it. We need a blueprint that's going to change the trajectory of our own lives. We got to stop asking everybody else to change, because today I believe the Lord's putting his finger on your heart, not the people on the outside, because revival does not start by some preacher man coming into town. Hate to say it. It starts by a man at home and a woman at home saying, I'm repenting. I'm turning. I turn back to him. I'm putting a yes on the whiteboard and I'm circling it. And I'm saying, God, magnify this thing so it grows. Because what happens when it grows and obedience comes in, that yes turns in and comes off the whiteboard. And then this little light of mine is now a burning torch. And anybody that gets near it, he's going to draw. And it's going to be like, dude, how are you not bitter at that person for what that happened? And this thing happened in your life and you don't live with, man, it'd be so hard to forgive if this thing happened. And you're just free because your life is not your own anymore and it's found in him. Is this making sense? It really comes down, we're longing. I talk to my mom and dad from time to time on this stuff, and I hear the temperature of what's taking place in Wellsville, and we all want to see transformation, and we all want to come up with a new idea and how we can help reach the youth. I hate to say it to you, but there's no new idea. There's an ancient path. It's time to return and actually know him again. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to invite them, and I'm not saying this place. If you invite a person into your own brokenness, and it's like, come to church and you got to do this. It's like, we're just inviting them into another system. I love the church. I help lead one. But if we threw out everything and erased everything we knew in our brain about church, ready? And how it's supposed to be run and this, that, and the other. And then I think Francis Chan said this in his book, Letters to the Church. You go out into an island, you read the whole Bible, you come back, and then you find out what church is all about, you'd be like, what are we doing? Really, what are we doing? We've made it so much about keeping people, and I know I'm not saying that we've done it here, but let's just say majority of the Church of America has made it so much about filling the seats to find success, getting the right music, getting the right background. We've essentially adopted the secular system and put the name of Jesus on it in so many ways. Oh, your sermon went a little bit long today, and that person might not come back and they might not tithe. I'm like, barf, I don't want their money anyway. I hate to say, I'm sorry if that sounded harsh. But it's like, no, for real. I'm not here for someone to write a check. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? We're not here to get people in the seats so we can grow the church, get a bigger building, and now we'll develop up here and we'll put playgrounds everywhere and the kids will come from all over Wellsville. It's like, no, they won't. That'll collect cobwebs over time because he's looking for a cloud of glory to rest. Because when the cloud of glory rests, guess what? People show up. When there's a fire by day and a cloud by night and it's cold, people are going to come close to the fire. And we're not going to need the cool worship band that has like the ripped jeans and all the, and if you have ripped jeans, don't feel bad. I have, my wife's got ripped jeans. I don't wear ripped jeans. I would. I just haven't bought a pair. But you know what I'm saying? You have to have a leather jacket on and like plagues cool, sound cool. I'm not against the style, but are we doing it because it's cool or are we doing it because we're trying to get people to think we're awesome and we're just slapping Jesus on our songs? Are you following me? This is really key. And you might be like, well, Chris, I don't know how to worship leader and I'm not. No, but you've been planted here. A Psalm 1 reality. If you look at Psalm 1, again, I'm bouncing around some scriptures right now. There's a man or a woman that plants themselves by the streams of living water, and then there's one that doesn't. It's dangerous. If we're not locked in and loaded with who he is, hate to say it, guys, we can invite people to church. We can try to start something new. It will look the same at 365 days from now. Because the Lord's saying, I'm not into you. I love that you're, my word won't return void. Don't get me wrong, is what God would say. But I'm looking for your heart. Because when your heart is fully given to me, I'll move mountains. When Charles Finney preached, guys, you guys know Charles Finney? Many of you do. The dude was crazy. And everybody was like, Charles Finney. Well, we don't actually talk about Father Nash. He wasn't Catholic, but that was his nickname. Daniel Nash. And Abel Clary, that would go rent basements out for 25 cents a week, or 25 cents a day. And they would labor in prayer and intercession for 12 hours a day. And it was done. Finney'd show up and preach. Thousands would come into the kingdom, just like that. Don't tell me Finney was a great preacher. Yeah, I'm sure he was. He was a gifted speaker. That's why he was a preacher and an evangelist. More importantly is that the spirit realm around a region has to be won back to God. And that won't happen until there's buy-in from one or two. See, the thing is, he's not looking for max capacity of 160 in here. I think the Lord will blow that out of the water. Because when his presence comes, that parking lot will be, you guys are going to be like, oh, there's a lot of oxen in the stall right now. What do we do? We don't have a team for that. We hadn't had that many people in how many years? This is crazy. What are we supposed to do? You'll have problems, but it'll be good problems. You'll have demonized people coming through the door saying, I need to get free. I'm addicted. And Dave's going to be like, all right, we got to get the team. Let's go. And he's in the back like, you know, let's throw some haymakers here. We're going to get God right now. Because that's who Dave, if you know Pastor Dave, that's how he's always been. He's ready. It's a position he's longing for us to get in. Because if we're asking for more glory, more power, God, and again, I don't sense this here like, oh, we need lots of people here. I don't even sense that a bit. We're just saying, I sense the position this church is taking. It's like, God, just come, we need you. And the Lord's pleased with that. But he's also asking, let the roots go really deep. Because when I send help and I send more of my power and send the helper, you're going to send the spirit in a region, it's going to be game on. And we saw a tiny portion of that back in the 90s. They were doing services like 4 days a week or something like that. I don't remember. I was going to all of them. I'm like, here we go again. But then I got encountered. And how many kids have heard the gospel because I got encountered? How many people are following Jesus? Not because I'm doing this, but because a weak guy like me who cried my eyes out to figure out my calling in God said I'm all in. That's you. That's every person in this room. I don't care how young and old you are. I'm like, well, I'm not the young person. I have so much regret. I don't care. I care, but get me. God's not looking at how you missed out. He's asking right now, how are you going to finish? You've heard it said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Transformation starts when we understand the heart of the Father. In Genesis chapter 3, we see this so frequent, this frequent starting point when man, Adam and Eve are like, I'm out. And the devil comes to tempt Adam and Eve, and we see this reality of, did God really say? Right? It's a half-truth. How many know they were already made in his image? And they did God really say? And then suddenly, they both get passive. Everybody blames Eve, but Adam needed to man up. Did God really say? And Adam missed out. And we know the story. They fall. Their eyes are open. They like, we need clothes. I want you to get this, though, because many of us are not fully drawing close to the fire because of our lack of understanding of the affection of God. If we don't understand the great love of the Father, he'll be a stained glass window to us. He'll be a rule. He'll be nothing more than you're not measuring up. You can't get it right. Why do you always do that? You'll hear the voice of whoever authority in your life that's been hard on you in the past, and you'll think it's God, and it's a lie. We've got to get our minds renewed with the Word of God. This ought to be way more popular than any social media, any type of news source. It's all, listen, I have on my phone, I have a little folder on my iPhone with my social media. You know what the title of it is? Fake news. I put it on there just to remind myself. Because I don't care, conservative, liberal, I don't care what you are. Listen. It's a big old show to keep us divided and to get us off the eyes of Christ. Don't play the game. I heard a guy say, you play the game, I'll rephrase how he said it. You play silly games, you're going to win silly prizes. Don't play the game. Get your face in the Word and understand this, because what happens is this. We see, and again, I'm moving fast. I'm not stopping and going. I want you to read it, and if you don't like this style, sorry. But Genesis 3, we see God is the first person to initiate clothing the shame of man. Takes an animal. We know the story. It gets so overlooked quick. He clothed them with animal skin. Do you think he just said, all right, poof, I'm going to make animal skin? No, he probably killed an animal. He initiated the killing because he's like, these are my beloved. And they just basically spit and threw the finger in God's face and said, I don't want you. And he's like, time out, that ain't gonna work, pal. Just like if my kid gives me a hard time and runs away and I don't like you, it's like, doubt it. You're gonna be hanging smile with me in 10 minutes. I'm gonna win your heart. Good luck, right? How much more the Father in heaven being like, you're gonna give me your list of excuses saying you can't pull it together. And then, boom, he clothes the shame of man and woman and says, I'm coming after you, and lays out a game plan to say, Satan, I'm going to step on your head. It's going to bruise my heel. Yep, it's going to hurt, but it's, oh, it hurts so good. Because I'm coming back for humanity. I'm coming. I'm the Father is going to bankrupt all of heaven and send everything he has in his Son to show us how to live life. If that's not love and you're like, I'm not worthy of love. I don't feel love. You don't read your Bible, y'all. You don't know him. If that's in your heart, and I'm not being mean, I've been there before, and my parents are ridiculously amazing. They raised me right. I don't care if you were raised from the best place or you were an orphan. I'll say this nicely. Let's stop making excuses. Either he's real and he is who he says he is, or your emotions are real and they're the thing that are the king of your heart. I want you to get that. Either the word of God is what Jesus is who he says he is, or your feelings are the king. Who wants to be the, I don't want my feelings to be the king. I'd be in jail if I followed my feelings. We'd all would be. This would be an empty service. There'd be, probably Dave would be in the only guy, like he'd be preaching to us in jail right now, helping, so. Thanks, Pastor Dave. Man. But check this out. This is critical because if we understand the heart of the Father, we run to him instead of from him. Difference between David and Saul. David, when he realized he was in sin, he's like, oh my gosh, like I'm the apple of his eye. Like, I gotta get to God. I'm in sin. This is not good. He's ripping his clothes, he's fasting, he's weeping, he's returning. And guess what? Because of David's yes to God, we have the revelation of the heart of the Father. Psalm 139. Pick up a handful of sand. I mean, I live at the beach, and sometimes even in areas where you dig. It's like you're digging sand. Here, it's like, oh, another rock, oh, another rock. It's like crazy. Digging where I'm from, you take post hole diggers and just let it rip because we're closer to the beach. It says that his thoughts towards you outnumber all the sand of the sea. His thoughts towards you that are good. I'm not sure God's really, like, wants me, and I've done all these stupid things, and this is kind of hard, and I don't know, and I've made some poor choices, and it's like, are we really going to nurse that lie? Pick up. I think it's 1 cubic foot of sand is 3 billion pieces of sand in it. His thoughts towards you that are good outnumber all the sand of the sea. Hey, chew on that for a little bit. And you're like, I ain't that good. And I got issues. And you're going to go drink that smoothie. Let me know how it tastes. Because I did it for years. Because why? My self-righteous stained glass window mentality. I got to come to church. I got to get my stuff together. I hope they don't know that I did that last night. Stop the nonsense. He's in love with your soul. He already knows everything that you're thinking and doing. Don't perform for anybody in this room. I used to like think I went in like service. Oh, I love this stuff. I used to think in service, like if I'm really radical, like if this is a really good song, I got to put 2 hands up, right? And you're thinking, who's watching? They must know I'm radical. And now it's like, I don't give a rip what I'm doing. I'll raise my hands, I'll raise them. But I'm going to sit with my eyes closed, bam, right on this seat. There'll probably be an imprint when I'm done and I'm going to have an encounter with God. It has nothing to do with my movement. Some people, I love the flag. Some people are going to wave that flag. I'm like, let it rip. Knock me down with it. Let's go. There's times where I'm in that mood, and there's times where I'm just receiving, sitting. Don't think when you worship, it's got to look a certain way. Sometimes we fall in love with charismania, and we've got to if we're really in it for God, we're screaming. If that works for you, great. But if you're sitting in the back having an encounter with God, rock and roll, who gives a rip what anybody says? He's after your heart. And I truly believe when he captures the heart of a human being where they don't go home and put the pacifier in, called their phone, called their TV, called their whatever, to numb what's really happening, fire shows up on the altar. Do you catch what I just said? We know the showdown, the great showdown, with the prophets of Baal. And is it Elijah? It was Elijah, right? Or Elisha? I always mix them up. Elijah. We know the dude pours water all over this sucker. And he's like, yeah, bring your prophets, pal. Why? Because he had history. He knew it was end game was over. He's like, God's going to light this up. And all these jokers are going down. Don't mess with God. Like, he's basically saying, do you have any idea who my God is? Just pour it on and let it rip, and fire fell on the altar because of surrender. But we know the condition of the human heart, because then we see 2 seconds later, what's he doing? Running for his life. He's afraid of good old Jezebel on the hunt, and he's like, I'm going to die, I might as well die. I'm just going to go die. It's like, how can we be so close to God in one minute and then the next minute deny him and look like it's baffling. Don't be shocked by the human heart condition of where you're at. Don't be shocked when a crazy sinful thought goes through your head. You catching this? So you might be asking, where are you going with this? Over and over and over again, even this morning, he is looking, as much as I would love to preach on so many other topics right now, and I believe I can't stop talking about this. We've had 3 summer camps this summer. Saw, I think, 20 kids for the first 2 camps make commitments to Christ. 1 kid running into his car. His dad's a pastor. He's in tears after playing. I'm like, dude, how's he in tears? That's not normal. He's like, Daddy, I gave my life to Jesus today. And I'm like, this is real. This isn't like his dad went and baptized him. Because he wasn't pushing his son. I loved it. He wasn't like making him say a prayer. And his kid's probably 7 or 8. We take a bunch of kids out to a hunting camp in Okeechobee, Florida. Look at the map. You'll see the big old lake. It's just west of Okeechobee. We called it an equipping camp. We had 19 kids. It was like an open heaven preaching. And the core of it all, we took them from Genesis to Revelation to understand that you're part of the storyline. But the message that I can't keep getting away from is a full surrender message. Because everything else that I were to teach you right now means absolutely nothing unless your heart is clean. Psalm chapter 15. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He's looking for a clean heart. He's looking for a heart that fully dies so that it can be fully resurrected. Isaiah, we know the story, chapter 6. He sees the pre-incarnate Jesus seated on the throne, and he's like, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. If Jesus walked in the room right now, we'd hit the floor. He wouldn't be like, should I get on one knee? Or you'd be like, pancake. And you'd probably be screaming for mercy and don't kill me and be in awe and be like, he's wonderful. Because of how holy, it's not that he's mean. It's not that he's looking to kill people. He's not mean. He's full of love and so full of the righteousness and holiness, which means he's set apart. And when that fire gets close to stuff that likes to burn up on the inside, that's sin, it burns quickly. So you feel it, which causes you to hit the ground in reverence. And so saying that, Isaiah sees, I'm a man of unclean lips. He takes the coal, cleanse me, and there is a reality in Isaiah chapter 6 where we see there's ascending. We can't call it ascending until we're willing to get free. Like you gave a real simple, on-point word this morning. And then you talked about, hey, somebody in here is struggling. It's like, we're not here to bring our sin backpack with us and just be like, this is the thing that I've always struggled with. And brother, it's just the thing that just won't leave me alone. And would you pray for me? It's like, I'll pray for you, but I've realized this. The Lord wants you to slay the head of that thing that's trying to kill you. He doesn't need an intercessor to take it out for you. Why? Because that intercessor don't live in your soul. He wants you to do it because he in you is greater than that thing that's killing you. Hello? That's why David didn't take Saul's armor. He's like, what in the world? I'm like, this ain't going to work. Give me the rocks. Right? How many stones did he take? 5. Why anybody know why he took 5? Huh? I never even knew that for the longest time. I was like, wait, did I miss that? How did I miss that? Because we're always heavy on the one. David's like, I only need 5 because I'm going to take these. I've killed a lion. I've killed a, like, and it wasn't so much of David doing this. It was like, do you know my God? Amen. He's going down. Like, it's not even up for discussion. David looked at the threat of his own heart. He took it personal in a good way. Taking it personal in a bad way, that's another story. Don't do that. He took it personal and said, no one's going to scoff at the army of God like that. He had 5. He only used 1 to take Goliath out. But then here's the deal. Goliath's big old sword, he takes and says, I'm going to endgame his head right now. He's done. And we're going to, and then terrified the Philistine army with it. What's my point? to drive home is that the Lord is looking for breakthrough inside of us, but he will not make us surrender. He will set you up to throw the rock that you're capable of throwing, but he won't make you actually break free of the crooked relationship, some form of addiction, whatever it might be, sexual sin, it could be temptation, whatever, name it, you name it. But until you're sick and tired of it and really actually ready to surrender, how many of you know if the cop came in right now and said, Chris, get your hands up, surrender, how many know this ain't working for him? How many know he's like, get in here, I got backup, he's got his hand in his back pocket, get your hands up, right? You know what I'm talking about? We've seen it not end well when people don't fully surrender, right? How many know God's not coming in with a gun to get us surrender? He's just saying, come to me. Follow me. He won't. Here's the deal, though. I love it. He ain't going to make the cripple guy get off the mat and walk. He told the guy to pick up his mat and walk, which means he actually had to say, I'm done with this addiction. Now, obviously, he wasn't addicted to being paralyzed, but in that case, it was like, no, I'm done. I'm going to actually do what he said, and I have to get up. You follow me? This is really critical to, prophetically speaking, to the temperature of where this church is going and where we're going in this region. Like I always said, man, if I live here, all I would want to do is just get into these doors and get with a guitar and just start worshiping. And I don't care if it was me in a big old hollow room or if all the crazy intercessors that are like used to do that. You guys probably still do those 6 a.m. I was like 6 and my mom would pray at 6 a.m. like, you're crazy. And I was a kid. You know, I realized it works. Hello? It ain't the big service that's going to get people to come and get them saved. It's the crazy intercessors that are like, God, we want you more than anything. I'm willing to lose sleep to be with you. I just want you. I'm willing to break free of my addictions. And what happens when a heart gets set apart? Oh, it's dangerous. When the heart gets set apart for him and we truly allow him to clean us, we begin to look like him, talk like him, not act weird. I've been around Christians that are like, I'm like, dude, you didn't have an encounter with, and I'm not being mean, but you didn't have an encounter with him. You just like, you're trying to make something happen. Don't make anything happen. Just be in love with him. I appreciate the evangelism classes and the teachings and how we better evangelize. That's good. But I don't know about you, but when I fell in love with my wife, I didn't need somebody to train me how to tell people that I'm in love with my wife. Come on, y'all. Like when you're in love, you're like, bro, come meet my wife. She's incredible. I'm a way better man. I'd have been a dead man without her. Like, come on. You guys know what I'm saying? We, for some reason, are like, we're awkward about Jesus. Oh, I hate to break it to you. The reason we're awkward about Jesus is because we don't know him like we should. I don't know him like I should at 38 years old. But I'm not beating myself up for it. Because he's saying, come to me. Come on. Come follow me. Don't get your ducks in a row, Chris. Stop it with getting your ducks in a row. Come follow me. Come, that's all he said to the guys that were the most jacked up dudes that didn't get picked to be on the A team. He said, hey, you in the back, you got a cussing problem and a big old dip in your mouth. Come follow me. No, for real. That's what he probably did. Like, let's be honest. They probably didn't have that back then. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the guys he wanted. He wasn't looking for squeaky clean in the back being like taking notes and like, yes, yes, teacher. Those are the guys he rebuked thinking you don't even need a doctor. You're the problem. You think they're in need. You have no idea how in need you are. You're missing the fact that I became one of y'all to save you. Called the Pharisees. Oh, are you guys following me? Yeah. This is really key. You got to get it because I got to get this myself. I'm preaching it, but I'm very, if y'all weren't in here, I could preach it to myself because I realize the key ingredient. This won't grow unless there's surrender. Not talking about the church. Don't worry about the church growing. God will grow the church. That's easy for him. He's looking for people that are in love. And we have a sanctuary and a building paid off and a land and a gorgeous, like, it's ridiculous. This is probably one of the nicest places in the region. This is amazing. And it ought to be our playground to where we can know God. And I know it is. But my point is that when you drive and you pull down Hanover Hill and you lock and you go right or left, I want you to begin to dream and say, Father, I just love you. And I just want to be fully yours. And I want that house right there, that guy with a red truck, I want him to know you. And versus, oh, Lord, he's probably sinning, not in church today. Why aren't they in church? Right? How many of you know telling someone that they're not in church and ain't going to get them to go to church? It's going to confirm they don't like you. And you're the reason they don't go to church. People inviting me to church never made me want to go to church. God pursuing me. I might have been invited on things, and my parents told me, you got to go. And I'm thinking, why do I got to go? I just went to earlier today. It positioned me to encounter him. So now my friends that don't want to go to church, I'm like, hey, it's cool. But guess what? Every time they get around me, they're going to be like, dude, why are you free? Why are you not depressed? And like, why do you not have to drink alcohol everywhere we go? You don't need to drink. I'm not against drinking, so don't think if you haven't drink here and there, I'm going to yell at you. But a lot of my friends are like, why don't you drink? I've just never seen alcohol. And if you're offended by my statement, so be it. I've just never seen alcohol help anybody. All I've seen it do is put Band-Aids on things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having a drink, so don't misunderstand me. But I also know my personality, and I say to them, what if I struggled with just having one and it went to a lot? Or if the coach that I work with down the road sees me out to dinner with my wife and I'm having a glass of wine, nothing wrong with that. And all of a sudden, he's like, well, Chris is the pastor, preacher guy. Like, dude, he's getting, give me three, give me five. And all of a sudden, it's a license. Do you hear what I'm saying? We've got to get to a place where the invitation of heaven comes. I'm going to wrap this up because I know you guys are usually out by noon. I tell the kids at camp, I'm like, all right, tray tables up, let's go. And they're like, all right, here we go. We're going to land this plane. We got to get to a place where the invitation of surrender is so beautiful to God. Where we know that we know that we know that it starts with my surrender. Because I could teach right now, faithfully say to you, and go into, there's so much more I want to hit. I really do. But I really believe surrender is what he's longing for the human heart. Because if we want revival, and I appreciate they're going to do a revival meeting, I heard, down at York's Corners. And I say this in the kindest way. How many of you know that advertising for revival is not going to bring revival? Now, but this is something that I want you to, the second part is, getting a bunch of people in the room to position themselves to say yes to God is beautiful. But some people are like, there's going to be a revival, we got to go. And it's like, wait, why aren't anybody getting healed? We're looking for the anointing and the power, but we're still screaming on to our sin because we made our golden calves, because we didn't like how God wanted us to do something and we never got free of it. Is this making sense? We are still holding on and wearing the old, and he's longing to take us to new. So I'm going to close this thing, Romans 6, real quick. So here's the catch. Most people don't, when they say yes to him, a lot of, especially young believers, a couple things. And we all know the struggle. Oh, the Christian life's a struggle. It is a struggle. And you get to enter into the sufferings of Christ. Don't be alarmed, brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials and temptations. It's happening all over the world. I think it's Peter that said that. It might be 2 Peter. I might be wrong. So probably a Bible scholar can correct me. But he's saying, hey, chill out. Don't, you know, this is normal. My brethren, James chapter 1, it's a good thing when you fall into trials and tribulation. It's a good thing. Why? Because something takes place. But here's the thing that I've seen Christians, including myself, for years walk in, and I'm like, this is not what it's about. Thinking, well, I'm just supposed to be a struggling sinner saved by God, and I'm just going to struggle my way into the finish line, limping. And it got to a point in my life where I never want any gospel outside of this. So I'm not making anything new up. I'm just looking at the scripture and I'm thinking, Jesus lived a sin-free life and he said, do as I do. Say as I say, essentially. Be holy for I am holy. Understanding that our sin nature is being renewed daily. Like to the day we die, we're going to be renewed, right? Fair to say. But there's this thing in Romans 6, which many of you are familiar with, and that's okay, but I'm going to refresh it real quick, is that the Lord himself wants us 6 feet under. What I mean by that is he wants us fully dead so that we can be fully alive. You want to get free of being down and depressed and angry and frustrated and bitter? Surrender. Because when you surrender, there's a trade-off and there's a thing called grace. And when that thing, and I always described it, I talk to kids so much, so like, how many of y'all seen the Avenger movies? If you don't like them, sorry. I thought they were cool. And if you've seen them, they have these things called, I think, Infinity Stones or whatever. And these superheroes aren't powerful unless they have them, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like, Iron Man ain't so iron unless he, like, when he loses it, like, this sucker's done. He's done. And all of a sudden, it's like, those stones, and I thought of one day I was thinking, and I'm not a huge movie guy, but I've seen a lot of those movies, and I'm like, you know, it's interesting. Without those, they're nothing. And the more I thought about this, and I'm thinking, Lord, as believers, if we don't embrace the grace of God, which is the very gift, Ephesians 2 is what it says, the very gift of God as a free gift. How many of you know, kids, Christmas morning, that's a present. It's not a reward. There's a big difference. A present is a gift. A reward is something that you earn. Like, I've gotten rewards before when I got good grades one time in my life. And no, I'm kidding. School was hard for me. If you struggle in school, kids, there's hope. It was hard for me. I had to study my tail off and still get C's and B's. And I was, yeah, anyway. But I remember getting the reward. I got a 22 when I got, like, honor roll or something one time. And thank God for my buddy that helped me a lot in school. But that was a reward. But the gift is I don't have to ask my son Dalton if he wants to open up a gift. He just turned 9 the other day on July 3rd. And how many of you know that I didn't have to ask him to open up a gift on his birthday? It was like, dude, can we open it? Dad, let's go. And God drops a gift called grace in us, and we look at it, and we're like, well, what is it? What do I do with it? Well, if we read his word, and we land this thing, and we see, what then shall we say? If we look at grace as a gift that gives us power, just like they give an Avenger power, I know with a little Infinity Stone. Grace is an actual gift called the Holy Spirit in us, causing us to have power to overcome. And if you don't open the gift, it ain't activated. Oh, I didn't realize I got to, like, you ever get a new credit card or something or a new debit, and you're like, I got to activate, and you try to use it? That's me. I'm like, oh, I'll just rip it open. And it's like, he didn't call the 888 number, and I'm like, ugh. You got to activate that which has been given to you. And if you don't engage it, it's not going to come alive and work. And he says this, Paul's writing to the church in Romans, here we go, chapter 6, what shall then we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, let's keep sinning because we got grace now. We just get forgiven all day long. Oh, I'll go do that sin. I'll do that in secret. No one will know. God will forgive me come Sunday. That's just silly. Paul's saying, listen, verse 2, certainly not. How shall we be dead to sin and alive any longer in it? I want you to get this. Dead means dead. It's not like, I think it's dead. If you're dead, meaning the old you has died. Let's read it. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So when you go down, and you come up, there's a death that's left in that water. And there's a refresher that comes out, and that water cleanses. It's a representation of the old you going down and a new you coming up. There's stories in other countries of people literally getting delivered of demons, healed of infirmities while getting baptized. Why? I truly believe it's because they believe. They're like, dude, I'm going down. There's one story of a guy going down, and the guy goes to pick him up, and the other guy forces himself to stay down. He, in his own mind, thought he was supposed to die. That's how ready he was. I mean, it's a beautiful story. Obviously, thank God they didn't drown him. So we have to be praying, bringing the elders on in. Or do you not know that as many were died and baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That means if you've said yes, tiny little yes, and you've repented of your sin and drawn close to the mercy seat of God and saying, I'm all in. Forgive me of my sin. I'm living for you fully. You're now 6 feet under. The old you is dead. Look, and then he says this. Therefore, just as buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in this newness of life. When he was raised by the glory of the Father, how many know he's resurrected, ready to rock? Let's go. He's saying, walk in that newness of life. So you're driving and you get triggered because someone pulls out in front of you. How many of you know that when you die, you don't get triggers anymore? He pushes my buttons. She's da-da-da-da. That kid doesn't listen. They need to be disciplined. It's like, well, maybe you need to get renewed because they don't know patience yet and you're the adult. Oh. Can I drop this? I'm just kidding. No, but that's something I'm convicted about. Maybe the problem isn't your kid or your coworker. Maybe it's you because you haven't been refined. Let this hit home. This has hurt so good. Let it hurt good. Here's why. Walk in this newness of life, which means, is it actually possible to live unoffended, completely unoffended? I believe it is. Is it a choice? All of Jesus' boys walked away from him. If I was Jesus, I'd been like, all y'all are suckers, you're going down. That's why I wasn't Jesus, right? Now, I've learned through his way to say, wait a minute, when I get burnt, I'm actually not burnt. I'm hurt for them. I'm not hurt by them. I hear so many Christians walking around hurt. I'm like, you're hurt. I get that pain happens in your life and loss takes place. That's different. But you're hurt because a hurt person that doesn't know God in this area hurt you. You're going to let that actually stay in your life? Are you kidding me? You died. Like, you died in that area. Now you get to go hurt for them because you realize their level of brokenness. Not judge them and be mean. It just means, wow, they don't know you, Father, like I know you in that area, and it hurts my heart that they don't know you. And I'm going to weep for them rather than weep because they hurt my little feelings. Now I got to go build a fortress around me, and I ain't trusting that person anymore, and I'm going to go over here and build my own little kingdom. I hate to say it, guys. That can so easily be alive in us if we let it. Are we okay? I know we're over time. I'm almost...
Keep going.
Are we okay? Kick me off the stage if need be. Literally, I'll be okay if you want me to say stop right now. I'm almost done. For if we have been united together in his likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that our old man, everybody say old man, was crucified with him. I want you to think about you jacked up, whatever you did last night that annoyed you, or how you lost your patience this morning. Old man. Some of you all still do God with a shovel, and you like have a bad moment, and you go back to the grave, and you're like, come on back up, buddy. I'm going to have a moment. No. Lock the coffin. Give the key to Jesus. Let him fling it out into the old high Genesee right now. Right? Sayonara. He's dead. She's dead. Ain't coming back. Now, you're getting rubbed wrong. No, it's called a familiar spirit. You need your mind renewed. When they hurt you, it's only because your mind ain't been renewed yet. You died to that. And now you don't got to leave like all hot and mad. I'm like, I just got to get some space. And it's like, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. It's like, well, if you're dead with Christ, it should be given a piece of Jesus. It doesn't mean you're going to walk around being soft and a pansy. No, you can still have real conversations, but you're going to act like a real man or a real woman doing it. In such a way that you're going to manifest this torch that's like, why are you so kind to me? I just totally ruined you. And all of a sudden, the whole entire neighborhood gets saved because you treated neighbors or people or coworkers that hated you and picked on you. And all of a sudden, your light became a bonfire. And all of a sudden, a hill gets set on fire. And all of a sudden, people driving up and down are seeing, man, something different. Knowing that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Get that stinking thinking out of our heads that you're just going to always struggle with. I got a pornography addiction. It's just going to be the way it is. No, brother, it's not going to be the way it is. It doesn't have to be. Well, you know, I just struggle with lust. I struggle with cigarettes. I understand. It's all real. But it's not who you are in him. And until you start saying it and believing it, you will be what you say out loud in your mind and heart. How many of you know your feelings? Said it all along. Your feelings lie over and over and over. And until you start preaching to your own heart and telling yourself who you are, based on this, you'll stay bored, disenchanted, and angry, and one day probably going to leave this church to find someone else that can have a better big old taste of something for you so you can feel better about you. I don't want to feel better about me anymore. I'm done with that life. He's in the grave. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you shall obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, and you are not under the law, but under grace. So as we close, right now, I want to say this really. Can I have someone play you want to play the keys, or can just a little background? Just lightly. I want to get your position in your heart just for a moment. We're going to pray. The Bills aren't on today, so we don't have to end and get to pregame. I used to remember being like, all right, Mason, Pastor Mason, come on, man. We got to go to shorts and get some good old cheese in the container and get back by 1 o'clock. No, it's funny. But I want you to think about this thing called grace. And right now, where are you being owned? Because what literally, if you were dead honest with yourself, what needs to go back to the grave and sealed off and say no more? And take your shovel and whip it as far as you can, because you digging up you is digging up old demons. And guess what? There'll be a song that's played or a smell or something that triggers an old memory. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm in the coffin. I want to come out. And you're going to say, no, I'm dead to that. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you are something. You are what he says you are. And until, guess what? If you give in your mind, because the way he designed us was for him, but if you let your mind get rewired by the world, you're going to think like the world. But when you die and you ask him to rewire you, everything changes. That's why it says really clearly. I mean, most of us probably know it. Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then here we go, verse 2. Bam. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to get transformed and not be a guy that's hip-hopping around to the grave back to trying to be a good church boy? You'll burn out doing that. You'll be double-minded, as it says in James 1, unstable in all your ways. It's like trying to split a fence for so long. You're going to get cut in half eventually. My thought is, get up, come to me, is what he says, follow me, be vulnerable. I get it, guys. Some of y'all guys, and you're like, I don't like being vulnerable. And that's soft. Well, it's because you believed in a thought that's below the grave. Maybe you didn't have somebody that taught you how to be vulnerable. Guess what? The king we follow is the most vulnerable person on the planet. Ladies, you might be like, well, every time I'm vulnerable, someone burns me. Well, that's stinging thinking. That's in the grave. Get it out. Right? We got to get to a place where it's like, I was made to be fully vulnerable, made to be fully alive. I don't care if I'm crying in front of my kids, my wife, you might say my husband, I don't give a rip. I just want him. And when you do that, something changes because he draws near to you. James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil from the grave and the devil will flee from you. And then you walk in this newness of life. And then suddenly you're not offended when someone cuts you off because you're like, Lord, they're probably having a hard Monday. I just ask that your love would encounter them like it did me, change their life. Your boss that's manipulating you and is so mean, and now all of a sudden you can't wait to go to work because you're going to love them and they're going to mistreat you. In your love, you're going to win them. Now all of a sudden at night when the kids are giving you a hard time, you're realizing they just need some attention right now. And I'm going to give them some positive attention. We're going to sit down and be a family. You might be like, we don't ever do family devotions. There's been times I'll just be vulnerable. I'm in full-time ministry. Opening up my Bible and reading it with all my kids, it's like WrestleMania in my house half the time. I'm like, how are we going to do this? He's looking for the condition of your heart. He's not looking for it to look. Kids are not going to sit down and just be like, that's an interesting point, Father. Let me just, no. They're probably going to be like, hey, can we watch the game? Just like I was. And we show consistent love and we get vulnerable as dads. And we look awkward doing it, but we're not, because that's a lie. So God, we just say that we love you. I know it's late, guys, but I really felt like we needed to get all that in, and that's okay. This is a big old living room. Lunch will still be good for us today, don't worry. So we just ask right now for the grace of God to come and empower us, to run to you and not from you. Father, I pray right now for the peace of the Holy Spirit to come and to capture my heart. Just ask him in your own words. I just pray, turn me right now. Turn my heart. Turn my heart fully, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything within me. In a world that's wanting control and wanting so much fake news, false news, what do we trust? I thank you that you're not affiliated with a political party, God. You're the King of Kings. You are the party. I thank you that there's a day coming where there'll be no election, because the increase of your government, there will be no end. I thank you there's a day that you're going to return to planet Earth for a remnant, for a bride making herself ready for the King to come. And I ask right now in this room that you would mark people, young and old, to know you. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd fill this room with your glory as we close this out. Begin to turn us. Break the power of addiction right now. I just want to encourage you. Holy Spirit, right now, reveal, and I think he already has, but show us right now areas that we're holding on to that are not acceptable, that are areas of lack of surrender. I just want you to, there's no special prayer thing you got to do. Just break your agreement with it. Rip the contract up with the evil one in your heart. I'm done with that. I turn that over to the grave and I say, I'm done. I'm being buried with Christ and raised into the power of his resurrection as a new man or a new woman. Turn me right now, God, right now. Turn my heart to love you, to know you, to see you. I confess it right now as sin, and I turn back to you, God. And I'm going to say this too. Some of you today, when you leave, there is going to be needed conversation. I see this super clearly. There's things that are tangled right now that you just kind of ignored, that you're going to have to go. The Lord, I just want to encourage you. The Lord will untangle it in a moment. It's a class. My dad used to say, you got a class 5 fishing knot here, pal. We're going to be here for a while. Don't go into it thinking it's going to be a bad one. I just believe the Lord is going to reconcile hurts, past hurts. There might need to be a family meeting, some one-on-one conversations. There's a fresh start, though. There's a fresh start today. It ain't nothing like humility to the Lord when you come and say, hey, I screwed it up, and I want to be everything he's created me to be in him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I remember when I read that, and it actually made sense, and I said, oh, my goodness. That means Chris Regan can't bring anything good to the game. Only in you. So I pray right now, fill us with the knowledge and the truth and the heart of the Father that we would know you. And just as we close too, there's some people in here that just hearing this very clearly, forgiveness is really key right now. Some of y'all need to forgive some people. Just really forgive them, like dump it at his feet. Reason you're tense and frustrated is because of how people have mistreated, or maybe you read the situation wrong, but just ask right now. Lord, highlight those people to us. Whatever helps you to engage them, just ask them. Show me who I need to forgive. Dump that dumbbell of weight that you're carrying. Nothing will quench that thing quicker than unforgiveness. And right now, we forgive people that have, in their own hurt, have hurt us. So turn us right now in Jesus' name. I just thank you and declare a new day in Jesus' name over hearts right now. An awakening over hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Anything else you want to... Bless you guys. Thanks you for hanging with me for so long. Appreciate y'all.